Blog Talk Radio.
Angela Buchenia is my direct connection to this unique institution. And as I attended her graduation with her first master's degree earlier this year, I will plan on attending her second master's degree graduation from this prestigious university sometime in 2014. Public service is its main calling, and its brand of service will touch the lives of everyday people around the world. This is the University of Arkansas Clinton School of Public Service, located in Little Rock, Arkansas, and named after our 42nd Commander-in-Chief, President Bill Clinton. This is a show you won't want to miss. This is Carol Copeland-Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. So glad that you joined us today. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving last week. I enjoyed my family, lots of American turkey dishes, and then the next day, a wonderful Jamaican breakfast. So I hope you had a great time. My family is mixed because my son-in-law is from Jamaica. His mom was up. We were with my granddaughters, my older daughter, who is married to my son-in-law, obviously, my younger daughter and her boyfriend. We had a great time. It's the holiday season, and hopefully we're going to get into it with real gusto. So thank you so much for allowing me to be off last week, and I hope that you enjoyed your day. I'm also now doing a series of recordings for those who are interested in our Caribbean cruise that will take place in April of next year, just right around the corner, but still time for you to plan to be with us. You can go to my website. We did the first recording last night. It's about a half an hour long, gives you a lot of detail about the cruise, how much it's going to cost, what's on the ship, who's going with us, if you have health issues, how that's going to be handled. It really is the kind of Q&A session that you'll need to determine if you really want to go with us and all the islands that we're going to as well, including Puerto Rico, St. Martin, and St. Kitts. We're going to do a number of other like conference calls or teleconferences over the next couple of weeks, including Garavanian Travel, who is coordinating this trip with us, and also a representative from Celebrity Series, that's the ship we're going to use. The actual boat that we're going to be on isn't going to launch until next month, so we're going to be on a brand new boat in April. You can get all the information at www.mssconnect.com. That's M as in multicultural, S as in symposium, S as in series, connect.com. Go to the cruise tab and you'll see a number of pages. The agenda's there, the fact sheet, the cost factor is all there. It only costs $250 deposit down to have your space reserved for the cruise, and then the Q&A session. So again, if you can't make the calls, not a problem. Just like with this show, if you, for whatever reason, aren't able to listen live, you can always download the show after the fact here at blogtalkradio.com, Global Carol. But with the cruise, you can go to mssconnect.com, go to the Q&A session, and listen to the information that hopefully will have you to say yes, write out that check, and go right with us on the wonderful cruise in April. I'm really excited about that. We'll talk later in the next couple of weeks in December about our February 1st Empowerment Breakfast that will take place on the campus of the University of Massachusetts in conjunction with the Commonwealth Compact. Really excited about that, too. But I want to go right to our guest and bring him in. Alex Thomas is the Director of Enrollment and Alumni Services at the Clinton School of Public Service. Now, this is not your average graduate program. There are thousands of graduate programs around the United States. This one really is unique, not only because it is right on the grounds of the Clinton Center, it is also named after President Bill Clinton, but public service is their main focus. Alex Thomas, thanks so much for being a guest on my program.
Thank you, Carol. It's a great joy to be with you today.
Super. Now, tell us why this is so unique as a graduate program.
Well, our program is unique for a lot of reasons. Honestly, the one of the main reasons I'll start with is the very hands-on approach to public service. We are not a program that solely and exclusively places a student in a classroom for 2 years, and at the end of those 2 years, you get your master's degree. Our program gets you both in the classroom, but also out in the field, domestically and internationally, working on public service projects that are meaningful to the individual applicant. We recognize public service very broadly. We don't define public service in a monolithic way that only this kind of person does service or only this capacity of need is public service. Public service can be anything that has an interest with serving the public good. And so we draw students from all over the country, all over the world, broad ages as well. We have students in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s in our program. And we have students interested in the spectrum of public service, from poverty to environment to government issues to domestic issues, to international, gender, race, you name it. And we can work with students in a reasonably customized way to help them achieve the kind of vision they have for public service and their public service pursuit.
So why public service? What are the origins of this particular school started back 8 years ago?
Well, I think when the school started, it was launched by President Clinton and the University of Arkansas. So we're a state school, we're a graduate school in the U of A, University of Arkansas system. But we're the most recent presidential school. Many presidents over the last several presidents have left office and then worked to start an institute or a school. And in this case, this was President Clinton's school. And he took an approach more toward public service. I think a lot of other presidential schools may focus more on government or public policy or public administration, all of which are very fine fields for sure. But President
right.
Clinton had a very strong passion for service. He launched the AmeriCorps service program while he's president. And that vision for service that he had was important. So he wanted to work with the university to set up a different kind of school. And again, not just a school that sat people in a classroom for a couple of years and discussed theories and case studies exclusively, but to get people literally out in the field, being boots on the ground, hands in the dirt, sometimes very literally, serving the needs of the world. And his work with the Clinton Foundation and the Clinton Global Initiative, I mean, those kinds of enterprises that he's doing also resonate with that mission for service.
Is he hands-on? Does he come on campus when he can, or is he just symbolically there because of his name?
He does come to campus when he can. He's in the area all throughout the year for one reason or another, be it events or speaking and things like that. He tries to do at least one student session with all of our students every year where he just sits in a classroom and listens to their questions and answers their questions. And those
that
sessions,
fascinating.
They are. They're incredible.
Yeah.
It can be very difficult to get an audience with the president for any amount of time, but when he's in
right.
town, he has tried to at least once a year create that opportunity for sometimes lasting around a couple hours or more where he can just sit and just field questions and commune with the students.
That's amazing. That must be quite – I'm sure that you probably have videotaped that. That's something I'll have to watch at some point. That's got to be amazing.
It's a great opportunity.
Right. One of the other amazing things, we're talking to Alex Thomas. He is the Director of Enrollment and Alumni Services at the Clinton School of Public Service. Is your tuition rate, in this age where tuition can be astronomically priced, I don't know how a lot of young people are going to be able to really totally repay the student loans because the loan value is so expensive. I mean, I have grandchildren. I'm working really hard to make sure that they can get in somebody's school and it'll be affordable. But your tuition for 2 years, two full years, is $16,000. How so?
Correct. And thank you for bringing that up, because that really is the other very distinct vision and intention of this program, is to have it be very affordable. Back when the school was founded, there was a very strong interest that public service not be cost prohibitive, that we didn't want to attract all these aspirant public servants into our program, well-meaning public servants who wanted to affect the world, and then have them graduate and then have a debt load that prohibited them from pursuing their public service passion in whatever capacity that may be. And so right from the very beginning, there was a vision of we need to make this affordable. And consequently, we've worked on strategies from the very beginning in terms of utilizing resources that already exist in the city of Little Rock, not replicating resources for our purposes, but drawing on these other resources to serve our students, but to then pass the savings of that efficiency onto our students. So you are correct. Our two-year degree, the full program, is $16,000. There are many master's programs that might be $20,000 or more a year.
Oh yeah.
And our full program is $16,000, and that includes support for the international public service project that our students have to do. And we're also pretty generous with our scholarships as well. You know, we can't fully fund everybody, certainly, but we try to put at least some scholarship money toward a very qualified applicant pool to be able to help them for the program, but more to the point, be able to then graduate from the program and affect positive change in the world without being burdened by debt load or inordinate debt load.
Right. I can imagine that you probably have a terrific development office. This cost has to be underwritten by your development initiatives. Is that true?
Certainly. I mean, we, as I said before, we're a state school, and so we do receive some level of state funding like any other state school. But I think the leadership at the school, I think, does a good job of of where they can, doing some private fundraising as well to be able to support the initiatives and the mission of the school.
So walk us through, again, my young friend is, she's like a little sister to me, just a dynamic young Ugandan woman, Angela Bukenya. Walk us through the life of an Angela Bukenya. She's in class right now. She'll download the show later on.
She is.
Who comes from Spokane, Washington. She was there with her sponsor parents, and she got one degree, and now she is on your campus and has settled in. Walk us through the life of a new student who's eager and ready to really serve, and what that two-year period will be like for her and others.
Certainly. Well, it starts with the enrollment cohort. We start every August, and typically we look for an enrolling class of between 40 and 45 students. So we're a pretty small cohort by design, because it really does enable some of the field projects that I'll talk about in a moment. But so the enrolling cohort will start in August, and in that first semester of the first year, we'll go through the core courses. And these are broader fundamental courses that no matter what arena of public service you look to pursue, we feel that these are some staple core elements of what people need to learn and understand. And so classes like social change, leadership, law and ethic, you know, those kinds of courses that allow, no matter what direction you want to go to, you can have that base understanding. In that second semester of classroom work are when elective slots begin to open up, and then the entirety of the second full academic year are elective slots, and that's where students begin to be able to customize their particular vision. So if someone's interested in environmental issues versus medical issues versus legal issues, you can choose electives that really tailor to your particular vision. So that's the classroom side of it. But there's also a very robust field component. And in that first year, you'll kick off the first of three field projects that our students need to complete by the time they graduate. The first is called
three.
So the first is the practicum project. And the practicum project links our students with agencies and organizations, nonprofits, for-profits, state organizations, government organizations, here in the state of Arkansas. So practicum, we get everyone in that first year, and we connect them to agencies, and they're tasked to be able to contribute toward and help launch and develop a public service project that is important to that agency and organization. So that will take place in the entirety of that first year. The summer between the first and second year is the international public service project, and this is where our students will fan around the world, going to all six, in most years, all six inhabited continents of the world, doing public service projects with an agency or organization that is resonant with their vision for service. So someone interested in environmental issues may choose an NGO or for-profit or a state organization somewhere around the world that's doing environmental work, while someone interested in gender issues may choose an organization focusing on gender issues. And it's that same protocol of working with that organization to develop and help launch a public service initiative that is important to that organization. The student then, in their second academic year, so they've completed the practicum in the first year, the international project in the summer, And then in their second and final year of the program, they will do their capstone project. And the capstone is kind of their final culminating project. It's the same model, though, linking with an agency, group, foundation, working on a public service mission that is important and resonant with you. And our students can do their capstones really anywhere. A lot of them will choose to come back to Arkansas and come back to Little Rock and work on projects here. But we'll also have students do their capstones in New York, D.C., Chicago, San Francisco, or in international locations as well. Because at that point, we really want the students to be able to kind of fully go after and embrace that public service passion, to be able to kind of be a nice jumping point and a nice leverage point into their life after they graduate and becoming an alumni of this, becoming an alum of the school, but then kind of pursuing that next job that they're after.
Mm. Great. We're talking to Alex Thomas. He's the Director of Enrollment and Alumni Services at the Clinton School of Public Service. If you'd like more information about the school, there are cool videos on the website, Q&A, and obviously a lot of information if you are interested in admitting or at least putting in your application to the school. You can go to clintonschool.usasys.edu, clintonschool.usasys.edu.
Yeah, it's a bit of a tricky website, but if you just Google the Clinton School, you'll come right up. And there's an application link there as well. In keeping with our affordability, we have no application fee. Many grad schools do have a $50 or more application fee, but we have no application fee. And our application deadline for the fall enrollment period is January 25th, so just a couple months away. But plenty of time to be able to review the website and submit an application.
That's great. That is really great. And, again, don't put www in front of the Clinton School. You won't get to the right site. So as Alex has said, you can Google it and you'll definitely get there. Can you give us a sense of one or two students who have graduated from the program and what they're currently doing as a result of being at your school?
Certainly. I can definitely do that. We've had a number of great students come through the program, and as a function of the field work and their classroom work, have been able to leverage some pretty compelling jobs. There's a gentleman who a couple of years ago enrolled here. He's originally was born in Brazil, but grew up in Florida, went to school in the Midwest, undergraduate, and then chose to enroll here and had a very strong passion for international work, diplomacy. And so as a function of his classroom work, but also the field projects that he was able to choose to help, again, leverage him in that direction, he did his international project in a remote village in Tanzania and worked with a nonprofit there, specifically working with populations that had needs for mosquito netting and water filters and kind of health issues. But that enabled him to develop this international experience to understand the needs of populations outside of the United States. And then he came back and did his capstone with a U.S. senator here in the United States and was able to do some very high-quality work for them, and then ultimately leverage that into a position he currently works in Washington, D.C. with USAID and doing and working with international needs
That.
And so that's exactly the kind of thing that he sought to do and wanted to go after. And so
do you have any examples of students who have graduated and started their own NGO or nonprofit organization either here in the States or elsewhere?
We do. There's a woman who graduated in one of our initial classes years ago, and she had a very strong interest in environmental issues and environmental evaluations and those processes. And so she plugged in with her service projects as part of the school that had that evaluative environmental focus, and subsequent to then graduating, decided she would launch her own organization, which is called the ISOS Group. She's based out of San Diego now, but she now, basically with her organization that she started, she travels around the country and visits with organizations that would like to have people trained to do environmental evaluation and certification. And so she goes and certifies these folks. So she'll travel to organizations impart the training to the employees, and they become certified to then be able to serve that organization with these credentials and certifications to better develop the mission of that organization. And so that's an example of someone who started, had this vision, and then decided to start her own organization. She saw a need that wasn't being met in the marketplace and decided to fill that need with her own vision.
Very unique. Very unique. Has anyone graduated and then gone to New York to work directly with the Clinton Global Initiative?
We actually do have a couple alums who currently work with the Clinton Foundation, and the Clinton Global Initiative is a part of the Clinton Foundation. The foundation is kind of the larger organization, but we actually have had a few graduates who've gone and now work within the foundation to help with the Clinton Global Initiative and a lot of other enterprises that the foundation oversees.
Is there anything that the school has started or tried, didn't work, and then they had to sort of retool it?
Well, I think with a school that's relatively new, like I said, we're still inside of 10 years. I don't know that there's anything that we have done away with necessarily, you know, tried and didn't succeed and we set it aside, but we continue instead to kind of tweak what we do to make it even better, sharper, more efficient, stronger, everything from the curriculum to the quality of the field work, to even my job and the kinds of networks I seek to develop in my recruitment and the kinds of relationships I develop with people that may be looking at the school 5-10 years from now, being able to kind of build some of those relationships now. So a lot of that is what we're trying to do is to take what we feel is already a very strong program, but to continue to make it stronger. And part of that is very fun. I mean, it's we're a very unique organization. There aren't a lot of schools of public service offering, you know, the master's of public service. And so in that capacity, it's really fun at times to be able to build and develop something that that really doesn't exist in the way that we've set it up in the marketplace. And so the kinds of students, frankly, that identify with the school and ultimately seek to enroll at the school are really those kinds of students that get the uniqueness of what we're trying to do. We're seeking to get people both in the classroom and out of the classroom, and having each of those sides of life, classroom and outside classroom, inform their education and give them a very global, both metaphorical and literal, education. And so the kind of thing that we've developed is not commonly found out there. And so so if any of your listeners are interested in that unique brand and model of education, we'd love to talk with them.
Well, that sounds great. And again, the website, don't put www first, just go right to clintonschool.usasys.edu. The uniqueness, Alex, is amazing. And as we close out the segment, have there been any initiatives to clone you elsewhere in the world, to clone the school?
I think that there are certainly other schools or other organizations that are studying what we're doing. And I'll quickly interject. I don't know that that is only because what we do is something that's really, you know, high quality and compelling. I think that might be part of it. But I also think the bigger part of it is even in our recent history within this country and the world, the last 4, 5, 6 years, there's been such a very visible understanding of the needs of people domestically, you know, with the economic issues that the country has been moving through in recent years, to globally. You've seen earthquakes and tsunamis and devastation and hurt exactly and unexpected places, you know, like Sandy or, you know, these historic kinds of experiences that are in the news. And so the notion of public service, not just here at the Clinton School, but even at other schools or other organizations around the country, is now moving from this kind of peripheral notion to this very, like, important core idea of, you know, we live in a world of need and we need to be mobilized, whether you're a for-profit organization making billions of dollars, to a nonprofit, to a school, to a hospital, to school children, to adults. I mean, you name it, everyone can go out and serve. And, you know, Martin Luther King said it very, very well. Anyone can be great because anyone can serve. And so I think that is something that's that quote by Martin Luther King is something that I think people really are understanding in a different way today than what maybe the world was like 10, 15, 20 years ago. And so all that to say, the work that we're doing, I think, is catching fire with organizations all over, which we think is fantastic because the world has a lot of needs, and we're happy to be on that frontier to help address some of those needs.
Well, it's a fascinating program. I haven't had a chance to really speak to Angela in detail about the program because she is always busy. She's in class.
Our students are busy.
Work.
Yes,
and probably working on that first of three SEAL projects, too. But I look forward to talking with her and hopefully getting down to the school at some point to explore myself. But
we would love
so
to have
much.
You.
Love to come. Thank you so much, Alex Thomas, the Director of Enrollment and Alumni Service. No relationship to me, but a wonderful last name.
Very good.
Right. Hats off to you and everyone else connected to the school. It's fascinating. And again, I would encourage those to go to the website. Even if you don't have an interest and you won't have a chance to put in your application, you can at least learn about this wonderful new project. I applaud all of you who are connected to the school. Thank you so much, Alex.
Thank you very much, Carol. Have a great day.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
You know, school is really, the school is open to anyone. It doesn't make any difference how young or old you are. I am probably going to do later on a piece on the movie Lincoln that is playing in the movies now. It is an absolutely terrific movie. I would encourage every single American to go and see that movie for a number of different reasons. It is accurate in terms of its historical relevance. It deals with the last 4 months of Abraham Lincoln's life. It really paints the picture of why the 13th Amendment had to be passed. You couldn't just rely on the Emancipation Proclamation. You definitely needed that 13th Amendment. I don't want to give away the plot. And it also really talked about the significance of why so many, the bulk of the African-American community, both in the North and the South, ultimately became part of the Republican Party when they had an opportunity to vote, including my grandfather. So go see that movie. But I'm bringing that up on the heels of what Alex has said, because it really caused me to even want to learn and study deeper. The whole concept of education in the midst of all of our technology and the things that we're doing, I think, is greater than ever today. I want, if anything else, with this radio show, the work that I do with the Multicultural Symposium Series, interviewing great people like Alex Thomas, learning about the work that Angela Buchenya is doing on that campus, I want to pass on the spirit of learning and the spirit of knowledge and the importance that knowledge can be in the classroom. It can be with the three field projects that are taking place with the students on the campus of the University of Arkansas with the Clinton School of Public Service. But you don't have to be a student. You can do your own graduate work at your home, on your smartphone, with your laptop, with your friends. You can create dialogue groups. You can do field projects yourself. You can take a particular subject matter, whether it is Lincoln, and reading that 700-page Doris Kearns Goodwin's book that I'm going to read, The Team of Rivals, that makes the background of that particular movie. You can take anything you want, and you can create your own learning opportunity. We need learning more than ever. We need to become fast learners. We need to continuously stay in dialogue because, from a diversity and a multicultural point of view, we need it more than ever. We need to make sure that our students, our young people, not only see themselves in a learning mode, but we need to also foster that sense of learning ourselves so that they see that you can be almost 60 years old like me. You can be older than that. You can be 85 years old, and school is not out for any one of us. I've always loved school. I did well in school. I would love to go back and get a doctorate at some point. Maybe I will be 65 years old or whatever it happens to be. But in the meantime, the learning process can still take place. There are actually universities now, including MIT, that will allow you to audit classes online for free. It's like an open source kind of concept where you don't have to have any money at all. In the case of the Clemson School, they're trying to lower the fee as much as possible. But learning can really take place. And that's one thing that I'm going to push quite a bit in 2013, the importance of learning and studying. We'll be back in 2 weeks talking about really great subjects. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great weekend. We'll be back. Take care.